Are you aware of something that happened recorded in Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, beginning with verse 40? This is really interesting. You know what it says? It says that a man with leprosy came to him, that's Jesus, and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, the blabbermouth went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. It really says the man, but he was a blabbermouth. As a result of the blabbermouth, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. That's what God's word says.
Hey, Billy. Guess what? Friday night, I won the Mega Millions jackpot. And at the end of the service, I'm resigning. Don't tell anybody, okay? Especially don't tell Marguerite, okay?
Some of you are terrible at keeping a secret, aren't you? Someone tells you something interesting and exciting or important, and you just about to bust a gut until you can just tell somebody else about it and somebody else, right? And others of you have no trouble keeping secrets or keeping things to yourselves. You're just really not all that interested in talking about other people or spreading what you've heard. Why is that? Why is there a difference in us? Why are some people so reserved and so quiet, while others blab everything they know? We joked about a lady in our church in Danville, and we said that if something was kind of unusual, interesting, or important, and if she knew about it, then we said, well, you might as well have gone to the TV station and put it on the evening news, because everybody else would know about it too. So how about this man that Jesus healed? How about him? I know this was a big deal, especially for him, a big deal. First of all, people with the wildly contagious disease of leprosy aren't even supposed to get close to anybody. As Susan was talking about the other week with the children, they were supposed to keep their distance, put your finger over their mustache and holler, "Unclean." Well, this guy is so bold that he not only gets close to Jesus, he gets right at his feet and just starts begging, "Jesus, you can heal me. If you were willing, you can do it. Please do it. Please, Jesus." He's right there in his face in front of him. And the Old Testament is real clear. In the book of Leviticus, it says nobody is supposed to touch a leper. He or she is wildly unclean, has to go through all this stuff. Don't touch lepers. But Jesus, he feels compassion. And he reaches out and he touches the guy. It's against the rules, but he does it. He touches him. And a miracle happened. A miracle. Right then, right there, this guy is cured. His leprosy is gone in an instant. He can feel it. And everyone could see it. Right then and there. Wow. Wow. Now, I ask you the question today, why did Jesus say what he said next? Mark says that he gave the man a strong warning or a stern warning. He said, now look, now son, Don't tell anybody about this. Don't tell anybody. You got it? You hear me? But go show yourself to the priest. That's prescribed in the 14th chapter of Leviticus. Go show yourself to the priest. Follow the rules. And, you know, maybe Mark seems to imply that, you know, the priests were some of Jesus' biggest critics. And it seems like just going, showing himself to the priest, that would show them that Jesus is a great healer, a man of great power, a man of God. But for whatever reason he had, Jesus says, don't tell anybody. Go show yourself to the priest. You can just picture the guy saying, okay, I'll do that. That's exactly what I'll do. And then he runs off. Well, he hadn't gone but a little ways when he met his friend Caleb. And Caleb said, Benjamin? Benjamin, son of Nathan? Is that you? Is that really you? Why, look at you. You're a different man. Why, yesterday when I saw you, you were just oozing with a bunch of old sores and you had white splotches all over you, man. Good grief, something's happened today. You look like a model for an Oil of Olay commercial. Good grief, man. What happened? What's the guy supposed to say? I mean, what would you say if somebody asked you, what happened? Would you say nothing? Would you not explain it? Would you lie? Maybe this old boy gulped real hard two or three times because he remembered what Jesus told him. And he said, well, I'm not supposed to tell you. And Caleb looked at him and said, what? Not supposed to tell me? Oh, come on, something happened. What did you do? How is this possible? And he said, well, okay. If you must know, you know that Jesus guy everybody's been talking about? You know that Jesus guy that we've been hearing about? He can do miracles and he cure people? He says, yeah, I've heard of him. He says, well, I met him, and I went right up to him, and I just begged. I begged for him to heal me. Just begged, and you know what? He did it. It was fantastic. I can't believe how different I feel. It's totally amazing, and I'm so happy I just feel like I'm floating on air. So he told him. Well, don't you know that Caleb hurried off, went home, told his wife. Then he went down to the camel market and told all the guys who were standing around there. And then Caleb's wife told her sister-in-law. And her sister-in-law ran out and told the town gossip. And the town gossip went around in the marketplace and went from stall to stall to stall, telling everybody, hey, did you hear? Did you hear? Jesus did it again. Now, let's give the guy who was healed here a break, okay? Wouldn't you have a hard time keeping quiet? Wouldn't you? Come on, when you got a phone call and it said that the pathologist reports came back from your tests all negative, didn't you want to shout for joy? Didn't you want to dash over to the computer and send off an email to all your friends? Didn't you call your mom or your dad or your kids or whatever and say, hey, guess what? I got good news. What about the time that you found out you were going to be a mother or a father for the first time? Oh, that was news you could hardly contain, right? Or better yet, that you were going to be a grandfather or a grandmother for the first time. Boy, that's some kind of news you can't hold to yourself. Or what about that time you got the news that your tax refund was going to be twice as big as what you thought it was? You're still waiting for that news, aren't you, right? Lord, help us. Hey, but good news is really hard to contain. You don't want to contain it, and why should you? Spread it around there. But it's awfully hard to sit on good news. But if we read the rest of this account, we realize why Jesus told the guy, or at least one reason why he told him, now don't tell anyone. What happened after this? Mark says that from this point on, Jesus' whole itinerary is messed up. He can't go anywhere without a crowd crowding in on him, getting in his way, slowing him down, just crushing him. He was so beset by mobs that Mark says he couldn't even go into the villages. He had to stay out in the outskirts of the villages, in lonely places. And even then, people came out looking for him, and they found him. He was just crushed. He was so notorious by this time, or had such fame. You know, Barack Obama took his wife to a restaurant last night in Chicago. And before he took her there, the White House was very careful to keep it a secret, to not tell the media beforehand, or if they knew, to promise them that they wouldn't tell. Well, you can understand that, can't you? Boy, guess who would all show up if it was known that Barack Obama was taking his wife to this particular restaurant? My son Mark worked for a number of years at the John Marshall Hotel. I mean, not the John Marshall, that's closed. It's called the Jefferson, excuse me. And there were quite a few celebrities, rock stars, politicians that would stay at this five-star hotel. Most of them would sign in under aliases, under assumed names, different names. And the staff would always be very, very careful to protect their identity so they weren't bothered by a bunch of people who wanted to see them. This happened regularly. And Mark says when the Rolling Stones came to town, of course, they were three of them stayed there at the hotel. And they were very careful to guard their identities. But he said Keith Richards was walking through the lobby, and some lady who was a guest there saw him and yells, "Oh, Keith!" and starts to go wild and go crazy. And the concierge just said, "Madam, please, you know, like, lady, cut it out. You know, what are you trying to do here?" Trying to guard these famous people from being just pressed upon. They didn't need to be mobbed by fans at then or any other time. So Jesus seems to have a good reason for this guy asking him to be quiet. But, you know, was that fair to the guy he healed? It's kind of hard to keep a lid on happy emotions and good news. Well, the fact of the matter is, this guy who was healed didn't just tell Caleb. He told everybody. Mark says he went around telling everybody, far and wide, as anybody he could see and talk to. He said, "Hey, let me tell you what Jesus did. Hey, let me tell you what Jesus did." You know, you would think that Jesus would appreciate that fact, that he's getting all this fame, that he's getting all this good publicity, that he's got great PR guy out there, right? You'd think that he would like that very, very much. But Robert Jensen, a contemporary Lutheran theologian, says this. He says, "The main difference between a living God and a dead God, or an idol, is that a real living God can still surprise us." Jesus proves himself to be the Son of God, the living God, because he's constantly surprising us, not just here, but in dozens of other places in the Bible. And we follow a God who's surprising, adventurous. And every time you know you kneel in prayer, or every time you open your Bible, or every time you sing a hymn, every time you're with God's people in church, you really ought to be expecting a surprise. Something you hadn't seen before, something you hadn't understood about God before. He doesn't just necessarily make himself self-evident through certain signs. We'd all like to have a sign from God, and every now and then you read about strange events, and somebody's seen some strange lights in the skies, and they think it's aliens coming to visit us, or somebody else has seen the image of the Virgin Mary in a taco shell or something like that, and, oh, this is a sign from God, and something's about to happen, or God's trying to tell me something. We all kind of have this hankering for signs, but Jesus isn't the kind to, it says it not only here, but elsewhere in the Bible, he's not the kind to want to try to prove things with signs, to have to do miracles, or to say that that's the most important thing. And that seems to be what Jesus is kind of backing away from here. He seems to be giving a warning against those who might be attracted to him solely on the basis of miracles. We're not to be impressed by strange miraculous signs or eagerly seeking supernatural phenomena. No, it goes actually even deeper than that. As I was studying this passage, it kind of occurred to me maybe there was one reason why Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody." Maybe it's reverse psychology. You ever use that? Hey, you ever have it used on you? Sure you do. Sure you have. Reverse psychology. If you want somebody to do something, tell them, "Don't do that. Don't do that." And then they just dying to do it all the more because you told them not to. If you really want something juicy to get out, you want everybody to know about it, tell somebody, "Hey, This is confidential. This is a secret. Don't tell anybody. Billy, how many people have you told about this so far? Since just one. That was enough. Yeah, maybe it was reverse psychology. I mean, come on, Jesus gives him, later on, doesn't Jesus give us clear instructions to do what? At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, he says, go out, tell, run your mouth, teach, preach, baptize, disciple people, talk all about me, spread the good news. We call it the Great Commission, right? He says, now get out into the world and just run your mouths. Why wouldn't he do that here? If you have fantastically good news, how can you not share it? And let me ask, what good news do you have? Oh, it's not much, is it? It's just that this almighty God of this eternal universe, actually the universe is not eternal, but God is. This God is amazing. This God is not a hard, harsh power who's out to crush you. No, he doesn't want that at all. He's not the kind of God who wants to roast you because of your sins and the bad things that you've done. This God wants to walk with you. This God wants to talk with you. This God wants to smother you with more love and grace and tenderness than your grandma ever gave you. That's the good news that you and I have. And if you hurt this God, he's not interested in hurting you back. And if you die, he's not going to leave you dead. But you are going to be alive with him forever in all the light you could ever ask for and the greatest life you can't even imagine how good it is. He'll raise you up with his son forever. Now, is that good news or what? But that's the good news you have. What fantastic news. The question for you today is, why are you sitting on it? Why are you not sharing it? Why aren't you telling the gal who you work with about what Jesus has done for you? How come? Is it because you haven't really fully realized what good news it is? Is it because you've gotten busy and you forgot? If you stop long enough today to think about it, who God is and what he is doing for you, then the insight comes to you very, very, very clearly. And that's simply this. Not tell anybody? You've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have a story to tell to the nations, but we haven't even told our neighbors. How come is that, Lord? We have this good news that we've been hearing, understanding, and living for a long time, but we've gotten so used to it, we forgot that it's good news. We have these kind of confessions to make to you today, O God. Refresh our minds. Remind us of what we've been saved from and what we've been saved for and who we belong to, and we'll get excited. Remind us, Lord, of how great Jesus is and that you've called us to become just like him. And we'll be blessed, Lord, and we'll be excited and we'll be happy to share it with everybody we possibly can. I pray, dear Lord, that we might take this to heart and be like this blabbermouth. We couldn't be even restrained by the Son of God, but had to go and share. Make us sharing people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.